Please turn with me in your Bibles to our text this evening, which comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, as we'll be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 1 to 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 1 to 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Please then hear with me the reading of God's Word. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil day comes and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Thus far is the reading of God's Word. Well, now, verses 1 to 8 of chapter 12 are really a continuation of the argument Solomon was making in chapter 11, verses 7 to 10, which we looked at last time we were together. And if you recall, the title of that sermon was Living as Those Who Must Die. And what Solomon taught in those four verses that we looked at is that while we are alive, we are to rejoice, especially while it is still light. While we live in a good time, in a good season of life, that we would, you know, enjoy the sun, enjoy the light, all the things we take for granted from God, but that He gives to make life so sweet to us. Solomon also taught us that while we live, we must remember, knowing that dark days are ahead. And this is another reason why we ought to make sure that we enjoy the good times while they last, because as we grow older, and we experience more trial and tribulation and loss and illnesses and affliction. As each decade passes, we see ourselves and feel ourselves drawing nearer and nearer to death. Which is also then why Solomon taught us of the need to remove all that ties us to hell. He speaks about removing all that is evil. Because death is the door to eternity. Now, all people will go to one of two places in eternity. One in pain and anguish and torment, which belongs to those who die apart from Christ. And one of bliss-filled glory and unending happiness in the presence of God. By nature, we are all destined for torment because that is the result of sin. But this is why Christ has come and laid down His life, so that those born into eternal life by the will of God would turn away from their sin and trust in Christ as their Savior, casting off all sin, casting off the love of this world for Christ, who has by His grace drawn our hearts to Him. And now Solomon reminds his audience that not only should we live as those who are going to die, but we must also live remembering who we are living before. And that is our Creator. And this is something Solomon says in verse 1 and 2 that we need to understand while we are still yet young. And he says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. Here he highlights the importance of acknowledging that you are living before your Creator and doing so starting young. You know, in Scripture there are many places where God directs statements to the youth. Right? In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, for example, we are told, Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Or, for example, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, and you may live long in the land. And so there is much instruction for children so that they would avoid the consequences of living apart from God and for themselves. This is why parents even pray for the salvation of their children. Yes, we want our children to be in heaven and have that eternal security. But we also want and desire for their salvation to come young so that they wouldn't have to... It's not that they'll never sin, right? But they're going to be living by the Holy Spirit. They're going to be kept by Christ. And so we want them to avoid those unnecessary heartache and pitfalls and trials that come because of rebellion against God. And at the end of the day, though, brothers and sisters, I mean, is this not what all of God's creation owes to Him? Right? Obedience and service and acknowledging that every day we are living before Almighty God, who is our Creator. Right? That from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. And so to live before Him each day in remembrance is paramount for that duty. Because, right, by nature, we too easily forget that, don't we? I think our lives become so busy. Right, our schedule so full. We are so distracted by, you know, all these different things going on in our life, that we oftentimes forget that we are living before our Creator. Right? We become so distracted by the things of this world that we will make decisions and we will formulate plans for the future without ever giving a second thought about God, because we are so accustomed to day in and day out forgetting that we are living before our Creator. Right? But what does Solomon say in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Right? All your ways, at all times then, for every Christian. Now, for many in their youth, they say, fun now, religion later. Right? That's what a lot of people in their youth say. But I want us to understand this, that when you say fun now, religion later, what you're really saying is God later. Right? And so if you are unwilling to serve God, right, walking by faith now, knowing that you are living before your Creator, who is in control of the present for you? Right? If you're willing to give God the control, so to speak, right, towards the latter years of your life, right? Who is in control of those years now, in the present, right? During your fun times, in your fun years? Well, ultimately, it's going to be the devil. It'll be the devil. And I don't think any of us, right, want the devil to have control over our lives. Because, right, the devil is not there to make your good times and your good seasons and the light that God has given you grow and increase and flourish and prosper. Right? He's here to make your days dark. Right? He's here to bring pain and sorrow and affliction. And so why would we ever want to serve the devil when now is the time to serve God in your youth? Too many people, I think, wait until the end of their life. And it's at that time, as darkness prevails over them, that they want to cry out to God. But for many of them, when they do, they don't hear a response. Right? Many people cry out to God as darkness prevails, as their days on this earth wane, and they don't hear an answer. Why is that? Well, because I think for many, they don't cry out in faith to God, but rather out of desperation or convenience. Right? They think now that the dark days have come. Right? Now is the time I can turn to God and He'll get me out of it.
so that they're not turning to Him by faith, trusting Him, but rather they just want to use God as a means of escape. Right? But the sinner cannot fool God. Right? They cannot fool God. This is why, if you remember, I believe it's John chapter 2, during the Passover, Jesus is in Jerusalem performing miracles, and what are we told? Many people believed in Jesus, but He did not entrust Himself to them because He knew what was in the heart of man. Right? And so you should not expect Jesus to help you in your times of trouble and affliction, in those dark hours, in those dark days as you approach death, while you use up all your good days, right? All your youthful days, selfishly for yourself. Right? If you want God to help you when the day is evil, may we serve God now when the day is good. Right? God created you for His service, to live before your Creator all the days of your life. And what we see is people all of a sudden at the end of their life ready to serve God, but they don't even have enough strength to help themselves. The time to serve God is not during your last days. The time to serve God is in your first days, in your youthful days, in your best days, when you have strength and vigor to be of use for the kingdom of God. Now, don't get me wrong, right? God certainly can save people later in life and even, you know, have deathbed conversions, but even those joyous deathbed conversions, are they not tinged with a little sadness? I mean, think about it. Yes, the angels in heaven rejoice when any sinner is saved, right? And it's a glorious thing to think, you know, someone, whatever, 80, 90 years of age, right, as they approach death, has been transferred out of that domain of darkness to the kingdom of light. That's a great thing. But also that 80-year-old or 90-year-old who knows that they are very close to death, right, even though they have the joy of their salvation, isn't there a little tinge of, I've wasted my whole life. Right, Jesus has done everything for me, endured all for me, has given me all. And I'm about to die. What have I done for Jesus? Right? Isn't that what happens a lot of times? Even in those deathbed conversions, they recognize what a waste their life has been. And so all young people, right, relatively young and children, right, now is the time to serve your Creator. Now is the time to believe in Christ and receive the merits of His work. Right? Now is the time to start your service for the one who so graciously formed you and fashioned you in your mother's womb, who is the reason that you live and you move and you have your being. And everyone here this evening, see that every moment you live without your Creator in view is a wasted moment. And it's a moment that you and I will never get back. Right? The sinful pursuits of this world are fleeting. They're dying. They're perishing. And they cannot bring about sustained joy and happiness, but true joy and happiness comes through knowing God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Right? He alone provides satisfaction for the life of the believer. And so let us not live another day, another moment, another second, without remembering our Creator and what He created you and I for. Next then, as we live before our Creator, let us also consider the fragility of life. Now, for the sake of time and for our purposes this evening, we're not going to go through each one of these in detail. But what I want you to see is that verses 3 to 6 is really a picture of old age, as it portrays the physical decline of everyone that everyone goes through prior to death. And I'm sure there's maybe some of us here that know more about this than others. Right, that like a house that goes unattended for many years, right? We oftentimes begin to decay over time. Right, those of us older in years who have gone through more things know that there are many pains and many more troubles associated with us in our older years. And so in verse 3 we see Solomon says, as we grow old, our hands start to shake as the keeper's hands tremble. He says the strong men are bent. Why? Well, because as we age, we know it's harder to keep ourselves standing up, to bear the weight of our body, and so we start to bend. Chewing becomes even more difficult as we grow old. As Solomon says, the grinders cease because they are few. Our eyesight wanes as those that look through the windows that are dimmed. In verse 4, he describes the loss of hearing and the loss of the ability to use our voices as they are affected by old age. He says, the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at that sound of a bird and all the daughters of a song are brought low. Right here he's talking about the lack of hearing, the lack of power in our voice anymore. In verse 5, he describes how out of fear of injury, right, we keep ourselves in our home. They are afraid also of what is high and terrors that are in the way. Right, he describes the product of old age, you know, going gray and then white. When he says, the almond tree blossoms. Here he also describes our mobility as we grow older, kind of coming to a screeching halt like a grasshopper who has to drag himself along. Our desire to do much fails also, doesn't it? Right, as you grow older, you don't want to go out as much. Right? You don't want to do as much. Right? You're happy to be at home as we sense that death is near. And before you know it, then life on earth ceases, which is what is pictured for us in verse 6. Right? Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel is broken at the cistern. Right? It's a picture of death. So these four verses, what they show us, what they teach us, is that death is irreversible. Right? There is not one of us, unless Christ comes back first, who will escape death. Right? Death is a certainty. Death is coming. We cannot stop it. We cannot prolong it. Right? And the older you get, the more you experience what Solomon here describes. And so he wants us to see, right, now is a time to serve God because weakness and decay happens to us all. But, as a believer, as one who serves God now and lives by faith in Christ, although God doesn't tell us that as believers we're going to not have to deal with these same pains of old age, right? He doesn't say that. But what does He promise the believer? He says that even though the outward body decays, the inward man is being renewed, right, day after day. And this fact ought to cause every believer to rejoice because Paul says right after that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, that this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And so Paul is encouraging believers, right, that although this life as we grow older can greatly distress us and can frustrate us as we get older and we suffer affliction and illness and body ache and pain and loss of ability to do things we once were able to do and fatigue as our bodies deteriorate, he says the new man in Christ does not decay. Right, the new man in Christ continues to grow day by day and prospers day by day under the grace of God, which causes the believer then, even though their body decays, to inwardly and spiritually continue to flourish like the tree planted by streams of water that yield fruit and whose leaves do not wither as He is fitting us, right, inwardly for entrance into His kingdom. And so let us see that youth and your youth is not to be wasted on yourself. Right? Lose your life now for the sake of Christ. Right? See what it is He has to offer and you will not be disappointed. The last thing then that I want us to see as those who are living before our Creator is this, that separation of the soul and the body is approaching us all. Right? Look at verse 7. And the dust returns to the earth as it was,
And the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now this is a clear reference to what? Right? The book of Genesis. It's a reference to how God first formed man. But it also reminds us of why, right? There will be a time of separation between the body and the soul. Right? In Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, we are told, "Then the Lord formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." Then in chapter 3 verse 19, as we read, "As the result of sin, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So Solomon says, right, when we die, body and soul are going to return to where they came from. Which is why when we die, the body came from the ground, it will return to the ground. But because the soul was created by God, the soul will return, and He will disperse the soul into which direction they ought to go. Right? It's going to be a conscious immortality, but is it going to be one of dread or glory? And so this is really a warning also to all then. As we read in the book of Hebrews, "Today then, if you hear Christ's voice, do not harden your hearts as those did in the rebellion." Right, brothers and sisters, we need to stop wrapping our hearts and our minds and our being around objects of vanity in this world. Right? We do that far too often. But look what Solomon says in verse 8. "Vanity of vanity," says the preacher. "All is vanity." Right? What he's saying is that all the things of this world that we cling on to will disappoint. Right? They will disappoint. The things of this world are passing away, and so are you. And so think about your Creator. Consider your own soul. Right? If you take away your existence with God in eternity, know then that your life now and forever will be one of vanity. This is why we so desperately need the second Adam, right? Who came and undid what the first Adam had done. Because what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 48 and 49? "As was the man of dust, so are those who are of dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have been born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." Right, this is the living hope for all believers, that just as Christ has a glorified spiritual body, then when He returns, so too shall you and I, right, being raised, imperishable and immortal. And it's at that time that body and soul will reunite again, never to depart from one another. But while they are away, God is keeping every particle of our body in safe keeping until that time. As Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 40, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." Right? All will have to meet their Creator. Everyone will meet their Creator. May we not waste our lives living in vanity, but live by faith to the glory of God, looking forward to the day in which we are all clothed with Christ in glory. Let us pray. O gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this needed reminder. We repent of our sin, of oftentimes forgetting the fact that we are living before our Creator always, that You are always before us. You see everything that we do. You know everything we think. You search our hearts, and we need to take more time into thinking about what it means then to remember our Creator. That we are not here to serve and to live for ourselves, but we are here to serve and live for God. And so, Lord, we pray that You would help us to understand that and begin to pursue that no matter at what age we are in our life right now. But we pray especially for those in the earlier stages of life, Lord, that now You would cause them to see their need to live for You in their best days, in their early days, that you might be able to use them for your kingdom and your glory. And that's, at the end of the day, what we all desire, Lord, that no matter what stage of life we are, that you would use us, that you would take us, form us into the image of Christ, and use us as instruments for your righteousness in the world. And we come before you asking all these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.